I'll call the meeting of the Tourism Infrastructure and Energy Subcommittee to order. Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
Vice Chair Lamarca?
Yes.
Ranking Member Schlossberg?
Here.
Representatives Beltran, Brown?
Here.
Buchanan?
Here.
Cheney?
Here.
Davis?
Here.
Fine? Joseph? McFarland?
Here.
Roth?
Here.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Here.
Skidmore?
Here.
Trabulsi?
Here.
Williamson?
Here.
Yarborough?
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Regas. Members, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there, so we're going to move pretty quick. So let's jump into House Bill 501 by Duran. The bill creates the Biscayne Bay Specialty License Plate with an annual use fee of $25. The plate must bear the DHSMV approved colors and designs, with Florida appearing at the top of the plate and Protect Biscayne Bay appearing at the bottom of the plate. The annual use fees are distributed to the Miami Foundation to raise awareness and support the mission efforts of conserving Biscayne Bay. Having presented the bill, is there any questions for Representative Duran? Seeing no questions for the representative from Miami.
April Fools.
Is there any debate? No public testimony, no debate. You're welcome to close. Having waived close, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran, Brown.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Davis.
Great job.
Yes.
Fine. Joseph. Lamarca.
Yes, considering that great close.
McFarland.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Silvers. Skidmore.
Yes.
Schlossberg.
Yes.
Trabulsi.
Yes.
Williamson.
Yes.
Yarborough.
Yes.
Chair Drake.
Yes.
The bill has passed 14 yeas, 0 nays.
If they could all be that easy. Thank you, Chair Drake.
Yes, sir. All right, next we'll bring up House Bill 599 by Representative Robinson, presented by Representative Skidmore. The bill creates a disease prevention and early detention specialty license plate with an annual use fee of $25. The plate must bear the DHSMV approved colors and designs of Florida appearing at the top of the plate, and the words disease prevention and early detection appearing at the bottom of the plate. The annual use fees are distributed to the Women's Breast and Heart Initiative Florida affiliate. Are there any questions for Representative Skidmore? Seeing no questions, no amendments, public testimony is none, debate on the bill, seeing no debate, you're welcome to close. Having waived close, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran, Brown.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Fine. Joseph. Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers? Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill has passed 14 yeas, 0 nays.
Show it reported favorably. Congratulations. Thank you, Representative Skidmore. Next, we'll have House Bill 1589 by a representative from Key West. Representative from Key West, you have an opportunity to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and Committee. This bill is the Utility Board of City of Key West Energy Services. The bill accomplishes four things: to conform our election procedures to the current procedures of Monroe County Supervisors of Elections, ensure that residence in the Keys Energy District is continued requirement for board members, prohibit the use of Keys Energy logo and trade name on campaign materials. Number two, provide a mechanism including a referendum requirement for the sale of any interest in the utility or substantially all of the assets of the utility. Number three, provide direct board control over the age of active state and federal contracts, which Keys Energy is authorized to utilize without rebidding, commonly known as piggybacking. add headings to the various sections of the enabling legislation for reference purposes, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay, having explained the bill, members, are there any questions for the representative from Key West? No questions, no amendments, public testimony. We have, let's see, we do have some testimony. Ryan Matthews, Keys Energy Services, waiving in support. Is there debate? Anyone like to debate on the local bill? Seeing none, you're welcome to close. Having waived close, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran, Brown, Buchanan,
yes.
Cheney,
yes.
Davis,
yes.
Fine, Joseph, LaMarca,
yes.
McFarland,
yes.
Roth,
yes.
Shove,
yes.
Silvers,
yes.
Skidmore,
yes.
Schlossberg,
yes.
Trabolsi,
yes.
Williamson,
yes.
Yarbrough,
yes.
Chair Drake,
yes.
Show the bill has passed 15 yeas, zero nays.
Show it reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Mooney. All right, let's take up House Bill 1029 by Representative Barnaby, Purple Heart Recipient Parking Spaces.
Thank you,
PCS for HB 1029. Representative from Volusia County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill authorizes state agencies or political subdivisions with jurisdiction over street parking or public parking facilities to designate parking spaces as Purple Heart Recipient Parking Spaces. Spaces may be identified by being outlined in purple paint or with a sign. That's the bill.
Members, any questions for the bill sponsor? Questions on the Purple Heart bill? No amendments? No public testimony? Is there debate? Seeing none, you're welcome to close.
Waive close.
Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran, Brown, Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine? Joseph? LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes. Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill has passed 15 yeas, zero nays.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Show that it will be reported favorably. Now, Representative Barnaby, you do know it's April 1, right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In England, where I'm from, April 1 is celebrated until 12 noon.
Okay. Touché. Okay, show the bill not reconsidered. All right, good, good, good. Well, in the Central Time Zone, they're still having fun right now. Okay, so let's bring up PCS for HB 271 by Representatives Botana and McFarland, power-driven vessel safety requirements. I believe the representative from Sarasota County is going to present on behalf of herself and the representative from Naples. So, representative from Sarasota, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Vice, and Madam Ranking Member.
Or Bonita Springs, I'm sorry.
My colleague and I, Representative Botana, bring this bill today. It's a bill about boater education. As it exists right now in the state of Florida, anyone born after 1988 has to take a boater education course before they get behind the wheel of a boat. This bill would specify a couple elements to add to that curriculum. And I want to give a backstory as to one element that we're bringing to that curriculum, and it's to honor the memory of Ethan Isaacs. Ethan Isaacs was a 10-year-old boy who died as a result of a boating fatality earlier this year. He was a sixth grader at Pineview in Osprey. He was absolutely full of life, and I've come to know him through working with his parents on this bill. And he was out with a sailing group. There was 14 boats on the water that day, and the sailing instructor on a little rib boat for safety came over to one of the boys who had fallen overboard and was helping him. And the sailing instructor, because it was a windy day, fell overboard out of the motorboat, and on his way overboard, kicked the throttle, engaging that boat, which now had no one on board. And that boat, if any of you have seen a runaway boat with no one on board, what they'll do is they'll tend to circle, striking anything or anyone in its path. And unfortunately, that's what happened for young Ethan. As I worked on this bill in conjunction with the family, what we learned is every professional mariner group out there wears a safety cutoff device. If you've been on a jet ski, you know what this is. It's that lanyard that you attach to yourself so if you fall overboard, you don't become separated from your jet ski, which is convenient, of course. When it's the case of a motorboat that will continue to go through the water, it's really a matter of life and death, as Ethan learned. Today is April 1st, which is a funny day, but it's actually a very serious day. The U.S. Coast Guard has just passed this on a national level, and it will be required on motorboats under 26 feet to have the operator wear a kill switch lanyard. So adding this element to the boater education course will not only help keep Floridians and our Florida waterways safe, but we'll keep them out of trouble with the Coast Guard should they get pulled over. I ask for your support on this bill and in memory of Ethan Isaacs. Thank you, members. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative McFarland. Any questions for Representative from Sarasota County? Any questions? Seeing none. There are no amendments. Public testimony. Debate. Members wishing to debate on the bill. Let's see.
Thank you, Representative McFarland, for bringing forward this this great bill. This was an incident our entire community was reeling over, and I really appreciate you. Some of the best bills come from folks in our community, and so I thank you for bringing this forward, and I hope we're all up on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Buchanan. Any additional debate? Vice Chair LaMarca.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thank you for bringing this bill and what it means. There was also an incident, and thankfully it didn't result in a death, but former fullback of the Miami Dolphins, Rob Conrad, was out on his boat in the Atlantic Ocean, and was alone. He was out fishing. Somehow fell off the boat, and it was at sea for about 12 and a half hours. Luckily, he was able to maintain himself above water and got through it, but this just makes great sense, and thanks for putting in the bill.
Additional debate. Seeing none, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In closing, I'll just give my great appreciation to Mindy and Greg who are watching. I'm a young mom myself with another one on the way. And the Isaac story just really got me, so thank you for helping me bring this bill. And with that, I close.
Having closed on House Bill, PCS for House Bill 271, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives, Beltran?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes. Thank you.
Fine? Joseph? LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill has passed 16 yeas, 0 nays.
Show that it will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative McFarland.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, don't go anywhere. I'm sorry. Unless you want to present for
me. Nope.
Okay. And before we move on, I know that was not easy, and you demonstrate a lot of courage in doing that, and it's very difficult, especially when you have a personal attachment. You know the families. I know that they're watching. They're very proud of what you've come up here to do and what you've done today, and I think that you're making small steps in a bigger conversation, but that you'll see other things that will happen because of what you started today, and I commend you for doing that, and I know the family shares the same sentiments. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, let's continue to try to change the law. Let's go to House Bill 1289 by Representative McFarland, Autonomous Vehicles. Representative from Sarasota County, you're recognized to present HB 1289.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Apologize for losing my composure. We're back on the hard facts. This is a bill about autonomous vehicles, specifically low-speed autonomous delivery vehicles. This bill updates our motor vehicle statute to create that definition. It specifies what speed zones these vehicles are allowed to operate in and specifies that they don't need to have equipment on board that's not fully relevant to a fully autonomous driving system. This bill defers to existing federal regulations where appropriate and vests ultimate control over the vehicle's presence on the road into the hands of FDOT or the local municipality that owns that road. So those are the functional updates. In practicality, here's what the bill allows. I want you to picture a low-speed vehicle like a golf cart, fully autonomous, no driver on board, not designed for human passengers at all, that can navigate from a store to your driveway, delivering your groceries, your dry cleaning, or whatever e-commerce you want to have that day. Not only does that take you and your car off the road and give you some precious time back, but it also does a great deal to help solve the problem of last mile delivery, which we know, for those of you who are in more rural areas know, is a real serious problem. Solving problems like these are always attractive, but more so now in our post-COVID world. And members, that is the bill.
Okay, having explained House Bill 1289, members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we do have an amendment. Explain Amendment 1.
Mr. Chair, if I could defer to Ranking Member Slosberg to explain the amendment.
Yes, Ranking Member from Boca Raton, you're recognized for an explanation of the amendment.
Is there two amendments? Is there one amendment? One? Okay. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative McFarland, for working together on this amendment. What this amendment does, it says that a low-speed autonomous delivery vehicle must be equipped with seatbelts if such vehicle is designated.
Let's make sure we're on the right amendment. We need to present Amendment 1 by Representative McFarland.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. I have an amendment today that would...
But you just hang tight, Representative Slosberg. You'll have your opportunity. Let's stay in the right format here. You have Amendment 1?
I do, sir.
All right, go ahead and present.
Thank you, and apologize for flipping those. This amendment adds a requirement for insurance coverage, and this would match the existing code on the books saying that autonomous vehicles have to have $1 million of coverage, and that's the amendment.
Okay, having explained the amendment, are there any questions? Any public testimony? Debate? All right, let's adopt that amendment unless anyone objects, and seeing none, show that done. All right, now, Amendment 2 by Representative Skidmore. Will that be offered or explained by Representative Slosberg?
Chair, Amendment 2 is filed by Representative Slosberg.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that that's noted. I'm sure that in our system it's appearing correctly. Is that right? Okay, so no problem. Representative Slosberg, you are welcome to explain Amendment number 2.
Thank you. And I want to start off by saying thank you to the bill sponsor for working together on this amendment. The amendment says if it's a low-speed autonomous delivery vehicle must be equipped with seatbelts if it was designed to transport humans. It's for safety measures. That is the amendment.
Okay, having explained the amendment, are there any questions on Amendment 2? Any questions? Representative Buchanan, you're recognized for a
Thank
question.
Thank you, Chair. Just a question through to the bill sponsor, if I may. Is this a friendly amendment?
Representative from Sarasota.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I consider this a friendly amendment. It's language that we absolutely support. We want anything that's going to transport a human to be safe and have seatbelts. I may tweak the language in the next committee stop just to make sure it comports with what the federal regulations are, but it's a friendly amendment.
Any questions, additional questions, public testimony, debate? Let's show that adopted unless anyone objects. Seeing none, show that done. All right, now, having perfected the bill, are there any questions on the amended version of the bill? Seeing no questions, debate. Debate on the bill. Representative from Osprey, in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative McFarland, I appreciated your time this morning. And I know as a legislature, when we are considering legislation around, you know, new and disruptive type of technology, it's really important that we remain thoughtful. There was, and I love the intent behind this bill. I'm going to be up on this bill today. And as I just mentioned to you, one thing I'd like you to consider moving forward, as there's just one little section of this where I have some heartburn, and it's around, and you very well articulated it on the phone. For instance, you're in Sarasota, and the speed limit's 45 on US 41 heading south. A golf cart type vehicle going 25 miles an hour in the right lane for up to a mile, and then potentially a loophole could be created if they make a right-hand turn onto a side street and come back out. Just from a congestion standpoint, when I've lived in Sarasota for a long time, when you look at year over year, traffic has only gotten worse. And so from that standpoint, I do have some concerns, and maybe at the next stop, look at tightening up some of that language. But I will be up today. Thank you.
Any additional debate? Any additional debate? Let's go back to public testimony real quick. I skipped over a few people. I think they're all going to wave in support. I feel like they are. Chris Emanuel, representing the Florida Chamber of Commerce. I thought you might. Doreen Parker, AARP, waving in support. Zane Smith, representing AARP, waving in support. Okay, having, let's see, no other debate. Oh, representative from Boca Raton, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. And I want to start off by saying thank you to Representative McFarland. I think this is the right balance of safety, allowing in the requirement of seatbelts if humans, if it's designed to transport humans. And this is personal for me. I was involved in a car crash where the driver and the passenger, who were wearing their seatbelts at the time, they survived. The other car that we hit had three passengers in it. They were all wearing their seatbelts, and they survived. Out of the seven of us that were not wearing seatbelts, five died, including my twin sister, and the other survivor is a quadriplegic today. So wearing seatbelts, they save lives, and I appreciate you adding in that to the bill. And I'll be up on the bill today.
Additional debate. Anyone else like to explain the merits or debate the merits of the bill? Seeing none, you're welcome to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, thank you for the questions and debate today. Before we move to a vote, I want to take another step back. I hope this time I won't cry, but as a pregnant woman, maybe autonomous vehicles will make me cry. Who knows? In Florida, we actually have a really strong and awesome legacy of leading the country in autonomous vehicle legislation. And it's because of proactive work by the legislative body and not coming out of the governor's mansion or waiting for industry to try to work around us. The work that this body has done has sent a signal across the private sector that not only is Florida open for business, but specifically autonomous vehicle research and development. And because it's because we've gone so far as to proactively help these companies manage their risk by creating a regulatory sandbox for them to operate safely within. By voting for this bill, you join that great legacy of work that brings these new technologies that not only solve our problems, solve our constituents' problems, and develop this new technology across the country. I encourage your support on the bill.
Ms. Reese, please call the roll.
Representative Beltran?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph? LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill is passed 17 yeas, 0 nays.
Okay, show that it will be reported favorably. Congratulations. All right, let's have Representative LaMarca present House Bill 1385, Department of Transportation. Vice Chairman from Lighthouse Point. Yeah, you're welcome. Yes, sir. Members will stand in informal recess for 7 seconds. Feel free to stretch out. This is the seventh inning stretch. All right. We're back. So, Representative LaMarca, you're welcome to present House Bill 1385, Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I won't say Vice Chair because I'd be talking to myself, ranking member and members of this great committee. I have the DEO agency bill, which is House Bill 1385. Pleased to present this to you. In substance, the bill increases the debt service cap for right-of-way acquisition bonds and bridge construction bonds. And this increases the cap from $275 million to $350 million. This limit has not been raised since 2007, and by raising it, the department can continue to provide necessary services in the future. Number two, the bill deals with Commercial Motor Vehicle Review Board, and it oversees appeals for citations for commercial motor vehicles, weight restrictions, commercial registration, and it is board recommends to allow drivers to appear remotely on personal devices. Part three of the bill is a work program amendments. If the Legislative Budget Commission cannot meet within 30 days of a proposed amendment, the chair and vice chair may authorize. Also included in the 2020 implementing bill, which is set to expire on July 2021. I'm sorry, the 2020 implementing bill set to expire in July 2021. Number four is the MPO project priority deadline. The MPOs, Metropolitan Planning Organizations, and Transportation Planning Organizations are required to submit their priority projects to FDOT annually by October. This will change from October to August. Number five, and we're getting round in third base, Mr. Chair, move over law. This will add the FDOT maintenance and construction vehicles to the move over law, which is currently just law enforcement vehicles, emergency, sanitation, utility, service vehicles, and tow trucks, providing safety for FDOT maintenance and construction vehicles. And number six, additional technical revisions are that this will clarify the department's rulemaking authority with regard to airport zoning requirements. And finally, it removes obsolete language related to service charges. That is the bill.
Members, are there any questions for a representative from Lighthouse Point? Any questions for the vice chairman? Representative from West Palm Beach, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Representative, for bringing this department bill. Could you speak a little bit more to the airport zoning provision being added in this bill?
Vice Chairman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Under Statute 333.14, current statute, airport zoning, Florida statute, does not provide for the adoption, administration, and implementation of rules regarding the department's permitting of airspace obstructions. This deals with that. To clarify that.
Follow up? Any additional questions? Any other members have a question for the vice chairman? Seeing none. Okay. Are there any amendments? Seeing none. Public testimony? None on the record. Debate. Members wishing to debate? Seeing none, you're welcome to close.
Wave closer.
Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran, Brown, Buchanan,
yes,
Cheney,
yes,
Davis,
yes,
Fine,
yes,
Joseph, LaMarca,
yes,
McFarland, Roth,
yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill has passed 16 yeas, 0 nays.
All right, show that it will be reported favorably. Okay, don't go anywhere. Let's take up House Bill 1463 by LaMarca, Department of Economic Opportunity. Representative from Lighthouse Point, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ranking Member, and members of this esteemed committee. I'm going to ask it as I present this bill for the Director of the Department of Economic Opportunity to come take a seat up here. I couldn't tell him when he was the Majority Leader to come take a seat anywhere, so I'll do that now. Members, the bill you have before you is very comprehensive, but I think it heads in the right direction. The bill specifically, number one, changes the Department of Economic Opportunity's agency head title to Secretary of Economic Opportunity, which falls in line with the other department heads, agency heads. Number two, it creates the Office of Economic Accountability and Transparency. This bill creates a framework for the implementation of a modular, cloud-based reemployment assistance system, which is governed by the Reemployment Assistance Modernization Strategic Planning Office, which will oversee the project and continued modernization efforts of the system. This bill directs the department to submit an annual report to the governor, the president of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives that will include the summary of the continuous modernization efforts and a three-year outlook recommended modernization projects included in the project costs and timeframes for completion. Next, this bill includes process changes to reemployment assistance program to promote efficiency and timeliness. It will add the agency head of DEO to the board of the directors of Enterprise Florida and Career Source Florida. As you know, those are very well connected organizations. And then finally, the bill makes changes to the Florida Small Cities Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, to allow DEO to administer the programs more efficiently. And, Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Okay, members, are there any questions on the bill? Questions on the representative from Brevard County, you recognize.
Thank you, Representative Lamarca. I just have one question. Is the reason that you're proposing changing the title is because our current executive director is used to having such big fancy titles like Majority Leader, so he wants to get another big fancy title?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I spoke in detail with his lovely wife, and she said don't give him any better titles than he deserves, but this would fall within the other agencies under the governor's.
All right. Thank you.
Questions on the bill. Okay, we have an amendment. You want to present Amendment 1?
Yes, sir. Amendment 1. This amendment will provide clarifying language and specify certain reporting requirements relating to the implementation and oversight of the Reemployment Assistance Claims and Benefits Information System known as CONNECT.
Okay, are there any questions on Amendment 1? Questions on Amendment 1. Representative from Jacksonville, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I like that intro.
Actually, go ahead and let that...
That's okay, Rep. Roth. Rep. LaMarca, you talked about the changes would incur the implementation and oversight. That's what this amendment is about. Could you talk to us about that or explain it?
Vice Chairman, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the question. So the amendment specifically clarifies that the cloud-based system must provide capacity on demand, as in current law. I think you might recall, as we had major draws on the current system, that capacity was probably the first issue that caused some failures. It specifies that the CONNECT system must maintain interoperability with the DEO workforce systems, making changes often to the program or to the system, taking a module, for example, as it was offline and putting it back up would cause the entire system to be shut down and brought back up, and obviously some issues can happen along the way there. This also specifies that DEO do the annual review and system identified enhancements or modernization. It provides for, in that annual review, infrastructure upgrades through cloud services, software improvements, enhanced data analytics and reporting, increased cybersecurity pursuant to provisions found in current law. And if you've seen some of the municipalities and school boards around the state of Florida, they're getting hit by some hackers, and so we want to make sure that this system stays up. and is secure. It requires DEO to seek input on recommended enhancements from a minimum of the following identities. First, it would be the Florida Digital Service within DMS, the General Tax Administration Program Office within DOR, and the Division of Accounting and Auditing with the Department of Financial Services.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Ranking Member from Boca Raton, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Does it require anything about annual reporting of the number of denials of the claims and specific reasons for those denials?
Vice Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't see anything in the amendment. I can, if it's okay with you, I'd be happy to make an interrogatory to the director.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman, Representative. I don't believe that the amendment speaks to that or the bill itself.
Okay.
Additional questions? Seeing none. Okay, is there any public testimony on the amendment? Is there any debate on the amendment? Is there anyone that objects to the amendment? Seeing none, let's show that adopted without objection. Is there any public testimony on the bill as amended? Looks like we do have some appearance cards. Director Dane Eagle, Department of Economic Opportunity, Executive Director, as a proponent. Thank you, Director Eagle. John Schrader, Department of Economic Opportunity, waving in support. Karen Woodall, Florida Center for Fiscal and Economic Policy, as a proponent of the bill. Ms. Woodall, you're welcome to approach the dais.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Rep. LaMarca, we thank you for bringing this bill. As was already mentioned, everybody knows that over the past year, the need to modernize the unemployment system has been very visible and very great, and we support what's in this bill. I do want to make a request that as we move towards more efficiency and all, sometimes we can leave people out. There are folks who still, believe it or not, don't have access to computers and Wi-Fi, so there is a need to continue to allow for paper applications and actual human contact for people who need help. So I hope moving forward we can make sure that's in there. But what I really want to mention is that the stuff that's not in this bill, that's a big component of modernization, and that's the underlying policy that has yet to be addressed. The policy, as you know, informs the computer. That's the computer doesn't make up what it's supposed to do. The policy informs it. And as you all know, you heard from constituents about the benefit amounts, the number of weeks in the amount, denials, people being told they weren't eligible and not understanding that. And so access to the unemployment system is equally important to modernize. And I want to give you, there's many issues related to that, but I want to share with you one because it relates to both the computer as well as the policy. And that's something that would affect our recipiency rate. Florida only had, of the number of unemployed workers, about 10% who actually got into the system, and that's largely due to underlying policy. In the 1930s, when the unemployment system was created, employers had to snail mail their wage records to the state capitol. So they built in a lag time to the eligibility process. You have to qualify in 4 out of 5 quarters, and they required that you skip your most recent quarter. You had to go back to the 4, and you have to meet, out of 2 quarters, the wage threshold and the work week threshold. That's fine for higher wage workers, but if you're a low wage seasonal worker and you are not allowed by law to count your most recent quarter of work, it's found that a lot of people are denied access to the system. Not because they didn't work the amount of time, not because they didn't make the amount of weeks, but because they can't count their most recent quarter, which oftentimes is where they make a lot of wages. That's no longer necessary because employers they file electronically. So it is an antiquated policy that needs to be adjusted as we modernize, and it impacts people's being able to qualify for the unemployment system. So we hope that along with the other issues I mentioned, we'll be able to work with Rep. LaMarca and y'all to address some of those issues that will vastly improve and modernize our unemployment system. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Woodall. Next, we have Ida Escamani representing Florida Rising. Now, Ms. Escamani, any other day, we would trust that you are Ida. But given today is April Fool's Day, there's been some debate on whether or not you are Ida or Anna. Which one is it?
Chair Drake,
are you April fooling us?
There's no way to know. I thought I was April fooling you by supporting a bill, but that's also true today. So,
all right, Ms. Escamani, you are recognized.
Thank you, sir. I'm very excited to support this bill. And Representative, thank you for introducing it. And Secretary Eagles, good to see you as well, sir. We do support this bill. I echo a lot what Ms. Karen Woodall said. I have to say, if there's anybody in this body who can speak to unemployment, it is Karen Woodall. She's been working on this issue for decades. And so I'm really honored to learn so much from her on this effort. And so this is an amazing first step, but we do urge this body to also, as we look at how to modernize unemployment, that we look at the alternative base period, that we look at extending weeks to match national standards of 26 weeks, that we look at, of course, increasing those weekly benefits. You know, unemployment, I think, often gets called a handout. It's actually a tool to combat chronic unemployment. Unemployment insurance is critical so that when folks are laid off, they have money in their pockets so they can pay their bills, feed their kids, pay for internet, and apply for jobs. It also puts money in their pockets so they can put back into the economy to create new jobs. So unemployment is a critical tool, unemployment insurance, the critical, critical tool to combating unemployment in this state. And I do not need to tell any of the members here, because you all have done incredible work in your districts throughout this crisis, that our system is one of the worst in the nation. Our benefits are some of the worst in the nation. And folks have been quietly suffering for a long time, for a decade now in this state. The pandemic really brought this to light. But this has been happening since the 2011 bill. So we're excited to see this first step, and we're very grateful for y'all to hear it today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Escamani. I believe that wraps us up on public testimony. Members, any debate on the DEO bill? Debate, seeing none. You're welcome to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just addressed one of the comments that was made with regard to paper apps. The agency can still accept paper applications through CareerSource in your communities. And told you about the bill. I'm not going to keep you here any longer than you need to be, so I wave close.
Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Trabolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
Show the bill is passed, 18 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Thank you, Representative. All right, let's take up House Bill 389 by Representative Mariano, Tampa Bay Area Regional Transit Authority.
Thank you, Chair Drake.
Representative from Pasco County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Drake and members of the committee. Today I have House Bill 389 relating to TBARTA. TBARTA was created by the Florida Legislature in 2007 to plan and develop a multimodal transportation system. In 2017, the legislature changed the mission of TBARTA from evaluating projects more broadly as a transportation authority to one where we focus specifically on transit improvements. In that same legislation, when the regional footprint was reduced to 5-member counties, the bill accomplishes the following. Authorizes certain mayors who are members of the governing board of TBARTA to appoint a designee. Clarifies what constitutes a quorum by aligning with the definition of quorum as it's defined in statute. Removes lists of mandated committees and allows for TBARTA's governing board to have full autonomy in their committee process. And also includes removing the chair's coordinating committee from TBARTA and places the committee within the MPOs. That is the chair. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any questions for the representative from Hudson, Florida? Any questions on the TBARTA bill? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony? You have Ms. Caitlin Bailey, representative of Tampa Bay Area Regional Transit Authority. Waiving and support. I believe that's it. Debate. Members in debate. Seeing no debate, you're welcome to close.
We've closed.
Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes.
Buchanan.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
Joseph.
Yes.
LaMarca.
Yes.
McFarland.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Silvers.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Schlossberg.
Yes.
Trabolsi.
Yes.
Williamson.
Yes.
Yarborough.
Yes.
Chair Drake.
Yes.
The bill is passed 18 yeas, 0 nays.
It will be reported favorably. All right, let's take up 6011, House Bill 6011 by Representative Beltran. Representative from Lithia, you're recognized to present your House bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. HB 6011 repeals the Sports Development Program, which provides a subsidy to sports franchises, and the program has never been used in the state, and it's just another way for private companies to get a subsidy from the taxpayer. That is the bill, Chairman.
Members, are there any questions? Amendments? Testimony? Philip Suderman, representing Americans for Prosperity, waiving in support. That'll wrap us up in public testimony. Debate on the bill. Debate. You're welcome to close. Having waived close. Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran.
Yes.
Brown. Yes. Buchanan.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Fine.
Yes.
Joseph. LaMarca.
Yes.
McFarland.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Schoaf.
Yes.
Silvers.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Schlossberg.
Yes.
Trabolsi.
Yes.
Williamson.
Yes.
Yarborough.
Yes.
Chair Drake.
Yes.
The bill is passed 18 yeas, 0 nays.
It will be reported favorably. All right, for an encore, let's do House Bill 1283 by Representative Beltran, Tampa Hillsborough County Expressway Authority.
Thank you.
Representative from Lithia, you are recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. The HB 1283 allows the Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority to expand into outlying counties and renames the authority for that purpose, and there is a strike all.
Okay. Present the strike.
Thank you, Chairman. The strike all clarifies that the acquisition of facilities through an expansion event requires the approval of both the of the owner of the transportation facility, and that if the West Florida Expressway Authority expands into a neighboring county, it must get the consent of that county. That is the strike all.
Questions on the delete all? Any questions on the strike? Seeing none and no testimony. Debate. If no one objects, we'll adopt that. Show that done without objection. Public testimony on the bill as amended. We have some appearances, so let's go through them. All right, but before we do that, does anyone have any questions on the bill as amended after adopting the strike? Oh, yeah, Representative from Miami-Dade County, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just trying to get a handle on the fiscal impact. Would you
recognize?
Care to explain that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. So the expressway is funded through tolls, and so this taxpayer as such would not have any obligation to pay for the expansion. They fund it through tolls, and then they bond those tolls as needed. And right now, this particular bill doesn't contemplate any particular project. It's just that the has not been able to have those discussions because
They've really, well, they've built basically to the Pinellas border over there at Gandy Boulevard, if you're familiar with Tampa Bay. And I suppose they could build further east, which would be a benefit to my district, but they haven't because there's, you know, they can't go into Polk, they can't go to Manatee, for instance. So there's no particular project, so it would depend on that project, but again, it would be funded by the tolls.
Questions? Any additional questions? Seeing none, let's move into public testimony. We have Joseph Wagner representing Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority. Mr. Wagner, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Joe Wagner. I'm Executive Director of the Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority. If I might revisit the question asked, there should be zero impact because all of our facilities and all of our operations and maintenance are funded from our toll revenues. The Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority has the experience and resources to finance, build, maintain, and operate highways using toll financing for all those purposes. The intent of this bill is to provide others in the region with the same options that Hillsborough County has, and also to provide them with a seat on the board if we do a project in their county. That's currently not available. We've been on this path for some time. Back in 2014, the legislature amended our statute to allow us to work in adjacent counties by way of invitation and permission. In other words, if Pinellas, Pasco, Polk, or Manatee had a project that they thought they'd like to solve with a toll finance solution, they can invite us in, and if my board agreed, we could do a project. So that's been in place. My conversations with the county commissioners in each of these counties has always had a question, well, if you do a project with us, do we get a seat on your board? And the answer was always no. So the intent of this legislation is to continue the same permission-based process whereby if they want us to do a project, my board agrees to do a project, we do. And at that point, they would gain a seat on the board from one of their county commissioners. They'd select who they wanted, and they'd add a seat to my board. This legislation also adds two other counties, Citrus and Hernando, to that list of four I just mentioned. And so as we do projects in those counties, they would gain a seat on my board. My board of seven members could grow to a maximum of 13, given the other six counties listed. I can't say enough, it's permission-based. It doesn't give us any right to go outside of Hillsborough County and do projects unless we're invited to do so, and my board agrees to do so. So I like to call it a method of organic growth. It's a very fast-growing region in the state of Florida, and it would be good if they had another tool in the toolbox to use to address their transportation needs. So with that, all the changes that you see in this bill to our existing legislation are to make it more generic. Right now, there's a lot of Hillsborough-specific references, and when you're going to work in a large region, it's just to make sure it's not just for that county alone. So all the other changes are meant to reflect the generic toll agency service provided. And I'll say that with the addition of this tool, I think it will serve us going forward for the betterment of the state. And West Florida Expressway Authority, just like Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority does today, would continue to work in close partnership with the department and with all other regional transportation authorities and agencies in our purview. So that's my testimony. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Amy Letellier. Did I get that right? Did I do good on the name? Letellier?
Sure. I like sure.
Must be from Louisiana, maybe. Okay, so Ms. Letellier is waving in support. Andrea Tovar, Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority. Okay, thank you, Ms. Tovar. I think that does it for public testimony. Members' debate, you're welcome to close.
Wave close, Chairman.
Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Trabulsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
So the bill is passed 18 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, committee.
Members, by your vote, the bill will be reported favorably. Okay, I'm going to pass the gavel over to the vice chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have up HB 1633, Okaloosa Gas District, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and Walton Counties, and we're going to show that bill temporarily postponed on behalf of April Fools. We're back in, and we're going to hear that bill. Chair Drake, House Bill 1633, you're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Vice Chair LaMarca. So this year it seems to be kind of an elevated amount of interest in building out infrastructure throughout our state, especially in underserved and unserved areas. In fact, House Speaker Sprouls mentioned in his opening day remarks that he wanted to make sure that Floridians had access to broadband deployment, especially in some of the poor areas. Chair Williamson is working on adding road capacity in his budget, and I'm working on increasing natural gas infrastructure in three counties in Northwest Florida. So House Bill 1633 deals with Okaloosa County Gas District, which was established under Chapter 29335, House Bill number 1313 on June 1st, 1953. Among other things, to expand the district area of service to include a described area in Santa Rosa County, Chapter 31051, Senate Bill number 1286, June 23, 1955. Adding Section 32 to redefine the area of service with respect to Walton County, amending Section 8 to allow the Board of County Commissioners of Okaloosa County to appoint a member to the Board of Directors to the district to represent the interest of the unincorporated areas, codifying the district's charter, recreating the Okaloosa County Gas District Chapter 29334 as Okaloosa Gas District. One of the most important changes is the addition of two additional board seats, one from Santa Rosa County and one from Walden County, for a total of 7 board seats. Not since 1986 revisions have changes in the board membership occurred. As a regional provider of natural gas, the district recognizes the need for representation from all three counties served by the Okaloosa Gas District. Members of the committee, Mr. Chairman, that's the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, any questions on the bill? Seeing none, I see we have an amendment proffered by Representative Williamson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment does a couple things. First, it changes town to city because it's the city of Milton. So that was just a drafting error. It also puts language that gives comfort to the city of Milton on some of the territorial disputes they've had with Okaloosa Gas. With that being said, this amendment was filed about 45 minutes ago, so out of respect to the members of this committee who haven't had to deal with this issue over the last couple months like Representative Drake and I have, and I still think we're trying to wrap our heads around it, and I don't think you could do it in 45 minutes, and also knowing that this bill would have to go to another committee after today before it even got to the House floor, and also knowing that the chairman is diligent about working on this bill with me and he's committed to that, I'm going to withdraw this amendment.
Excellent. Thank you, Representative. And I know former member Ponder, County Commissioner, would love that his city is spelled properly, or that is referenced properly. Having removed the amendment, we have public testimony. We have Gordon King from Okaloosa Gas District. Thank you, sir. Next, we have Heather Lindsay from the City of Milton. You recognize?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of this committee. I'm here on behalf of my city of Milton. I am their mayor, and I'm pleased to be able to speak to you about our concerns. We first raised some concerns about this bill when we only knew about it in concept back in January 21st with our legislative delegation when we had our meeting. We were not given an opportunity to see the language of the bill before it was filed on March 2nd. But our concerns are essentially based on the fact that the legislature in 1961 and in 1971 granted natural gas service area territory to the city of Milton. The city of Milton is a natural gas service provider not only in our city, but in surrounding areas. And we've had that authority and we've been providing those services for years. We agree that there is an overlapping service territory provided to Okaloosa Gas, neither of which are exclusive. So So because of that confusion, we have hoped to work with Okaloosa Gas to resolve those questions. We have not yet been able to resolve those concerns. We have communicated initially. We did, our lobbyists did speak on our behalf against the bill in the first committee. I sent the bill sponsor, Chair Drake. I did send you a letter on March 24th outlining our concerns. I have since responded to some of your questions about our rates. We have that information available. I have also attempted to work with Mr. King. I will note, if there are questions about rates, that although there were some there was some confusion about our rates, the City of Milton's actual monthly bill for one MCF of gas is $22.26, whereas it's $27 for Okaloosa Gas. We provide services economically and efficiently and safely, and we'd like to continue to be able to do that without any confusion about these overlapping territories. Mr. Chair, we would very much like to have the opportunity to meet with all affected parties, as we had hoped to do 2 months ago, and discuss these concerns in hopes of reaching a resolution on this local bill, which has a significant effect on natural gas distribution for both residential and commercial areas in and around Milton and Santa Rosa County. Thank you.
I have a question.
Thank you, Mayor. Questions, Representative Roth?
Thank you, Vice Chair. So you represent the city of Milton. For those of us that don't understand the geography, so Milton is in Okaloosa County?
Mr. Chair.
Organize.
Yes, Representative Roth. Actually, the city of Milton's in Santa Rosa County.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So Okaloosa County is to our east, and Santa Rosa County is to the east of Escambia, where Pensacola is. So we're right in the middle there of that very far western tip of the panhandle.
Follow-up?
Yes, sir. Thank you. So I'm trying to understand. So there already is an overlap of natural gas services provided, or this bill will make there be an overlap, which obviously would create competition?
That's one of my primary concerns, sir, is we have been providing natural gas services to our residents, to residents outside of our city limits, and to commercial customers. We've already built infrastructure, and that taxpayer investment would be wasted, we are concerned, would be wasted if this bill passes without a clarifying amendment. We have presented clarifying amendment language through correspondence over the last week in hopes to resolve that.
Final question?
I hesitate to ask this question because to me it's a little bit contrary to the way I think, but just for clarification, so what is it would be asking for to amend this bill? Are you asking to be carved out of an area?
You recognize?
Thank you. We are asking that the clarifying language that we submitted be considered and that all the parties get together, because I personally would like for us to not have any competition because we've already invested in our infrastructure and I don't want our taxpayer dollars to go to waste. However, we also recognize that because of legislative acts over the previous decades, that there are some areas where there is some overlapping territory. We are serving customers in all the territory that we have been granted. We do recognize that in the northern part of Santa Rosa County, where we do not serve customers, this would be a great opportunity for Okaloosa Gas to provide services that are not yet being provided. I support that. What I don't support is creating confusion through a legislative act that runs contrary to prior legislative acts that grant us territory where we are authorized to do business, where we have already invested infrastructure, and where we are providing those services at a reasonable rate.
Thank you. Representative Fine, you recognize.
Thank you. I just have a process question, and question maybe for you or maybe for Representative Williamson and maybe for Chair Drake. In my delegation, and I thought they all worked the same, if we're going to do a local bill, we have to present the local bill before our delegation meeting. It's like more than 30 days before the session, so it can be put in the newspaper and all of that sort of thing. And then if, at least our rules are, if the delegation votes by a majority yes, in our case in Brevard County, there are six of us, so if four of the six vote yes on that bill at our delegation meeting, then we run the ad, and then we can file it when session starts. Was there a local bill in a delegation meeting, and the delegation talked about it and that sort of thing before?
You recognize the answer.
Yeah. Sir, there was the concept discussed, but the bill language itself had not yet been drafted. So when I, on behalf of the city of Milton, approached the podium to say, we have some questions, we want to understand better what Okaloosa Gas intends to do. We like the idea of Okaloosa Gas expanding in the northern part of our county to serve folks who don't have services. We like that. We just want to make sure we understand what they want to do. And that's partly because last July they had sent us a letter, a cease and desist letter, regarding territory we're authorized to serve in. And so we were concerned about what their intentions were because we did not agree, based on legislative acts that authorize us to serve, that their lawyer was correct, that we should cease and desist the work we've been doing. So we did not have the language at that time. At that time, our legislative delegation directed Okaloosa Gas to get with the cities that were present, because the city of Gulf Breeze at that time, which is in the south part of our county, also had objections. Okaloosa Gas was directed to meet with us to try to resolve these questions. I have yet to have a meeting with Mr. King. I would welcome one.
Thank you. Members, anything else?
Just one more follow-up, because again, sure. Local bill.
Representative Fine, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Local bill logistics. So, and I guess this would be for my friends over here. So at your delegation meeting, you guys didn't have an actual bill that was voted on by the delegation and then put in the paper? For either, Mr. Chairman, either for Chair Drake or Representative. I'm just curious about the process.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to answer that question. And it even becomes more complicated than that. So there was a concept or an idea for a bill. Since Okaloosa Gas covers Walton, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and Escambia, they actually had to go before all four delegations. And when you, as spread out as we are in the panhandle, there are a few of us that sit on some of those delegations together, but we don't all sit on a delegation together. So they actually had to go in front of Representative Drake and Senator Gaynor. They had to go in front of Representative Maney, myself, Senator Gaynor, and Broxson at a separate meeting. Then Andrade and Broxson and myself in Santa Rosa County. Then to Salzman and to Broxson and to Andrade in Escambia County. But the bill was in concept, knowing that the bill, we would get draft language back, or the chairman would, and then it would be worked on from there. But this bill did not have to be in final draft form before those delegation meetings, according to the rules.
Thank you, Representative. All right, next up we have Timothy Parsons from the city of Dufuniac Springs.
And I'll add a comment.
Okay. Prior to that, sir, Chair Drake, you wanted to answer Representative Fines.
Yeah, and Representative Williamson addressed that very eloquently. But I just want to clarify with my colleague from Brevard County that every house requirement that's required by the committee and published in the agreement manual, whatever the joint rules are, all the policies that are spelled out to us and following our local bill procedures were adhered to. So we had a notice of intent to seek legislation that was filed in every affected of county in a newspaper of general circulation within the geographic area. So that was done. 30 days notice was in place, and then we had delegation meetings in each county. I don't sit on the Okaloosa delegation, but Chair Williamson does, and then the Santa Rosa County delegation met, and then the Walton County delegation met. So at each one of these delegation meetings, there were appearances made to talk about the idea conceptually and moving forward with filing legislation with the intent to seek a local bill. And knowing that we would have to go through this process where a bill would be filed, it would be published in the journal, it would be assigned to committees, and then we could, you know, make those considerations here in the legislature. And so that's where we are. Now, we do have some work to do. I think that interested parties are working together. Chair Williamson was working on an amendment last night. I was working on an amendment last night. We just ran out of time, and so we just kind of agreed that we would continue that discussion today in this format, and then that the interested parties would get together and try to work out some of the concerns where we can. And so that's where we are. And they absolutely have my word that we will sit down and try to work through this.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Parson, you recognized?
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Tim Parson. I'm here today on behalf of the City of Dufuniak Springs. I would like to note that the city hasn't taken a formal position on this particular legislation. As you know, the appearance forms say you're either for or against, but a little bit more nuanced than that. But I would also like to make the committee aware that our mayor, Bob Campbell, would have been here today, but he had a family medical emergency. So thank you for the opportunity for myself to speak on HB 1633 today. Respectfully, Mr. Chairman, the city would have normally provided this testimony on a local bill at the February 12th Walton County Legislative Delegation meeting. But as y'all briefly discussed there, that this was the actual bill language we did not see until March the 2nd, the first day of the session. But also, as mentioned to the sponsor earlier this week by our mayor, Bob Campbell, the city of Dufuniak Springs has some questions about lines 69 through 76 of the bill and the potential impact on the city of Dufuniak's current infrastructure for their gas utility. I would also like to make you aware, a council member has reached out to the sponsor, who's also a legislative liaison for the city, in an email yesterday to discuss the city's questions and concerns about the bill language, and would also appreciate the opportunity for the bill sponsor to set up a meeting for all affected parties so that their questions and concerns might be addressed prior to the final committee meeting. Once again, thank you for the time today to allow me to speak on this local bill. Happy to answer any questions or communicate any information back to the city if you like.
Okay, thank you, sir. Members, not seeing any questions. We're in debate. Any debate on the item? Representative Williamson, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This has been a frustrating process to go through, and none of those frustrations are at all directed at the bill sponsor, our chairman, because he's been working diligently on this bill, and I'm sure he has frustrations as well. As the mayor said, back in on January 21st, there was some direction to have the parties get together for Okaloosa Gas to go to the city of Milton and get rid of some of these disputes so they did not have to come before us like they are today. That just hasn't happened yet. I have hope that it will happen. And there are parts about this bill that are good things because I have a north end of my county in Santa Rosa County that the city doesn't have gas in or doesn't go up that far. And they can people in my rural communities can have gas with this and they don't currently have it. With that being said, when a mayor of my city comes before me and one that I respect dearly and think a lot of, my mother and her father actually graduated from Milton High School in 1963. So it concerns me when a dear friend who I trust a lot in has concerns. And this is a city that my grandfather was a city councilman for over 15 years. My father was a councilman for several years, and he was a mayor pro tem at one time. I lived at 404 Park Avenue. That's where I grew up. It's probably a half mile from City Hall. When I drive home every day from Tallahassee, and I've done this every single time I've left Tallahassee since I was elected in 2016, I get off of I-10 two exits early. And I do that so I can drive through East Milton and then drive into downtown Milton. When I drive over the Blackwater River into downtown Milton, I get to look to my left at a beautiful war memorial that they have there for veterans. And it's a memorial that sits where my great-grandfather's fish market was. My mom was born in that fish market. So when I drive across there, it reminds me of something I was told my whole life, and that's never forget where you came from. And that's why not forgetting where I came from, I have to be down on the bill today, and that's no disrespect to our good chairman and the bill sponsor. And I look forward to working with him because I know that he's got a commitment to work on this bill. I'm committed to work on this bill, and I think we can get to a good spot. I'm going to be down on it today for the reasons I mentioned, but I do look forward and I commit to the chairman and this committee that we will get this worked out. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Williamson. And now your grandfather's Sic 'em Dogs. Anybody else have any debate on this? Representative Davis? Yes.
Thank you, Chair.
just because I think this committee is somewhat struggling, because I don't like to really deal with local bills that I don't know a whole lot about and weigh in on it, and that's what we're feeling too. But I would just like to ask for the sponsor of the bill, our chair, to kind of identify, because I thought in reading that it identifies some boundaries to what you're trying to do here. So if you could just kind of talk about the possibilities of boundaries being in the bill, that maybe would help us at the end of this. Thank you.
You're good, sir.
Thank you. And I think that's what we're trying to do here. I think there's some agreements that in establishing the boundaries were okay, and then there's some where there's some confusion on some overlap areas. This is the first crack at it. Yes, we have heard it in one committee prior, and then we were trying to put together something for this committee meeting. However, we physically ran out of time, and staff was busy putting together everything for today's meeting, and in working with the interested parties, we just did not get to that work product yet. And so while this is the last, this may be our last committee meeting here, this committee, we wanted to move forward, bring up these interests that everyone has, and try to hash out the differences. Now, granted, we won't be able to do that in like legal posture today. However, if we can move the bill forward with the understanding that it is a moving product, that it is something that is permeable, we can work together and try to make things right. We want to make sure that the policy is set right, because at the end of the day, my goal is to expand gas infrastructure. There are places in Florida where residents would love to have the opportunity to utilize gas and all the benefits that come with being able to use natural gas. And there are a lot of places in poor communities, in underserved areas, in unserved areas, where there are no gas pipes. And so if we can articulate through statute a process to establish some boundaries and some rules and some regulations, and we always have our friends at the PSC, who exists at our urgence for them, under our purview, to make sure that these policy issues are right, that when it's appropriate for one service provider to be the deployment agent, or when it's the other. Our friends at the PSC, that's what they do every day, is they calculate, they run the numbers based on a number of things, based on distance and delivery costs and geographic considerations. I mean, they have all of these things that they will do all the work for us, but we have to do our part in establishing, the overall direction. So while we're not 100% in agreement of the exact territorial perimeter, we are in all agreement that natural gas is a great commodity. It is something that Floridians want. They want to have access to, just like they do water or sewer or any of the other utilities that we all rely upon and use each and every day. So we're close. So we will sit down. I think everybody is in agreement that we will sit down and we will work through our differences, but we just don't want today to, be the day that ends the opportunity for citizens that live in rural areas to not have the ability to have natural gas lines run to their house. So with that said, we will have that meeting. We will continue to work through this and make sure that at the end of the day, the public is justified, the stakeholders are justified, and that the legislature will feel comfortable and that what we did was the right thing to help Floridians gain access to another amenity that we're used to enjoying and making our life a little bit better and simpler and more satisfactory. So that's the intent. That's what we're trying to do. And I hope that answered your question.
Mr. Chair, I thought that was going to be a really good close, but I did see a hand go up. So, Representative, if you will.
Thank you, and that really was a good close. Mr. Chair, I just want to say that local bills come with a lot of nuance, and there are nuances that we're not always privy to because it's not the nature of where we live. But out of respect for you and the respect that the commitment that you've made towards working this to be a better bill and a bill that both parties can be happy with, I will be voting up with you today.
Representative Roth.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair. I too am a little bit conflicted. I take special pride in trying to stay abreast of natural gas issues. This is an industry that has affected my livelihood greatly, beneficially, in a facility that we own in New York State, where the price of natural gas has gone from $12 a decatherm to $2 a decatherm in the last 20 years. I'm a part owner of a sugar mill that uses natural gas every time we start up, and it's a huge, it's allowed us to meet all the emissions, water, air quality emissions standards for burning sugarcane bagasse to generate our own electricity. It's an answer to a lot of problems, so I'm kind of conflicted a little bit. I see this as normal competition. My struggle is, oh, by the way, Chair, I am going to be up on the bill. I just let you know that. But I am a little bit concerned, as Representative Fine has said, that here we are in the second committee meeting, and it sounds like, I don't know, but it sounds like we've not had much local participation in this conversation. It sounds like, not knowing, it sounds like this is a half-baked idea a little bit. But out of respect for the chair and my understanding that this sounds like it's a good bill, I'll be up on the bill, but I really, before we get to state affairs, really hope we can have that meeting and have some understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And Representative Schoaf, bring us in for a landing, sir.
Absolutely. I'll keep it real brief. Personally, my family business is a natural gas utility in a rural community. That's what I've done since I was 12 years old. I'm very familiar with the process and territorial disputes, and also familiar with the intricacies of local bills. So I'm happy to hear that it seems, as a result of this committee meeting, there's going to be a meeting of the minds and hopefully a better product at the next committee stop. Look forward to voting up on this bill, but everything that was said here today is important. We've got to expand natural gas to rural communities. It's an economic driver. It's a quality of life issue. And so hopefully you'll be able to bring this in for a landing.
Thank you, Representative. And in an effort to bring it in for a landing, maybe one more stop at MIA, Representative from Miami-Dade.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Mayor, I just want you to know that we've heard you, and I have confidence that our chair will actually work with you to handle those issues, to address some of the things that my colleague said about the half-baked idea. I don't know that we can say that. It seems like it was quite a bit of process that happened at the local level. But there were multiple local level issues to address. So I don't know if it's entirely that, but it sounds like you're on track to address those issues. And we do have one more stop at State Affairs. So that will be another place that we can kind of check any issues that don't happen today. But as a practical matter, this is the last meeting for this subcommittee. So if it doesn't happen now, then everything's stalled. So just in light of that practicality, I would encourage my colleagues to vote up on it for today. And if there's something that's not addressed by the next committee stop, we can have another conversation, and several of us serve on that next committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. And I'll just make a quick comment and then let the chair close. Look, I've heard, we've had a really good discussion here. And when you come from a county where you have 19 delegation members from the Senate and the House, it's a little different than when you have multiple counties spread out along the panhandle and you have to have multiple meetings if you have parts of different counties, like Representative Williamson and Schoaf and Drake have said. So listen, I believe the intent is there, the trajectory is in the right direction, and some of the members here sit on the next committee. So Chair Drake, you have my support, and I'd like to close.
Yeah, thank you. And I think I kind of already closed earlier, but I'll just stress that, look, what we want to do is we want to provide natural gas service in underserved and unserved areas. And while it's a very complicated process to establish all of the bureaucratic requirements or all of the legal safeguards, we will get through that. Yes, there are some differences in opinions right now. There are some questions on both sides of which territory might be established or when which legislature authorized it. But we, the 2021 regular session, the regular legislature, we have that prerogative to continue to facilitate that discussion and to make these considerations, and that's what we're doing. It's a little bumpy right now, but I feel like that all of the parties will come together with a collective interest of providing this quality service. And so with that, I would ask that you would allow us to continue that conversation and would humbly ask for your support on this bill today.
Chair Drake, having thoroughly closed on this bill, Ms. Regas, please call the roll.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Brown?
No.
Buchanan?
Yes.
Cheney? Davis?
No.
Fine?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Schlossberg?
Yes.
Tribolsi?
Yes.
Williamson?
No.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Drake?
Yes.
The bill has passed 14 yeas, 3 nays.
Thank you, members. With your vote, show this bill passes. Before I hand this gavel back to our capable chairman, I want to just thank you, if this is our last meeting, for allowing me to help you co-pilot from time to time, and appreciate your service, sir.
Thank you, Vice Chair LaMarca. I appreciate that. You've done an excellent job in helping me keep things on track. This may indeed be our last meeting this session. May not. You never know, but very well could be. So in case we don't meet again, I would like to thank everyone here for their service on this committee and for your professionalism and for being the agent of change that your constituents sent you here to do. I think this is the best policy area, having tourism and infrastructure and energy and all of the unique issues that we've been able to discuss and very respectfully debate and talk about how we want to change our districts and our states so that we are on track to be the best in the world. And I think what we're doing and the decisions that we make are indicative of why people are wanting to come here, at 1,000 a day, and we're getting more and more people interested in our area. But I really have enjoyed all of the work. Everyone's been courteous and professional, and even though the issues are tough sometimes, we're very respectful, and we work together, and we always try to get the issue right, and that's at the end of the day, that's what we want to do, is we want to get the policy right. And there are a lot of people to thank for that. These packets aren't put together and all these analyses aren't done by themselves. There are a team of people that are here working late at night and on the weekends putting together everything that we could imagine. You know, when we discuss these bills, there's a lot of things that we don't think about, but we have people that are very smart and very talented who think of a lot of those things for us and put that in the form of an analysis and kind of gives us an easier perspective on what we might have to consider when these things come before us. So I want to thank our amazing team. Ms. Amanda Regas is our administrative assistant, who's always kept up with everything and made sure all the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed and that everything was done accurately. And Ms. Stephanie Johnson and Michael Wilson. Stephanie is our analyst that puts together a lot of these staff analysis that we rely upon in making our decisions. And Michael Wilson, our attorney, who makes sure that everything's checked off on and done correctly. And then Cochran Keating, our policy chief, who kind of makes everything, keeps all of us in line and makes everything come out in the end just the way that we want it to be. So Cochran, thank you for your service in guiding us here. But with that, if there's no other business before us, Vice Chair LaMarca moves that we rise. Show that done without objection.